One of the people interviewed in a new documentary called Head Game says it's been known for a long time that banging your head over and over and over again can be a bad thing. That would seem an obvious point, but in certain sports, aggressive hitting, banging, and crashing into one another are part of the game. What is becoming increasingly clear is that some, perhaps many, players are being permanently injured, suffering from brain damage as a result of concussions. And concussions are the subject of today's edition of Please Explain with Steve James, one of this country's most accomplished filmmakers. Many rank his Hoop Games as the best sports documentary of all time. Also joining us is Chris Nowinski, the author of Head Games, Football's Concussion Crisis. He is a former All-Ivy football player and former WWE wrestler. He's now a concussion activist and is on the NFL Players Association's Mackie White Traumatic Brain Injury Research Committee. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. To be here.
Before we begin to discuss what concussions are and what happens to the brain when injured in this way, I'd like to ask you just a little bit about the film. Steve, how did you come to make it?
Well, you know, like a lot of people who are fans of sports and football, you can't live in Chicago and not be a Bears fan. You know, I've followed this issue a little bit. You can't help but avoid it over the last 5 or 6 years. So I had a curiosity myself, and then I was approached about Chris's book, Head Games, and about the idea of turning it into a film. And I read the book, and I was just blown away by it and thought it would be a great basis for a film.
Now, Chris, you're a Harvard graduate, and yet we see you having your head banged many times. Didn't they teach about concussions at Harvard?
You know, it never really came up, and I don't feel bad because now that I'm pursuing a PhD in behavioral neuroscience, I learned that Aristotle thought the brain was for cooling the blood, so I don't feel so guilty.
The film starts off with a football coach telling his very young players that they can equalize their small size by using their helmets to hit their opponents in the head. And it's a shocking scene. Now, what happens when they do that? We're talking about 10, 11-year-olds here? How old were those kids?
Yeah, how old were those kids, Steve?
Those kids were younger. They're probably like
7 or 8, maybe.
Eight.
When a child uses his head as a weapon and hits other people in the head, the forces to the brain are incredible. And it's something that you can look at very clearly and say the human body was never meant to take.
So let's say you have a concussion at the age of 7 or 8. Is that something that's going to be with you for the rest of your life?
Hopefully
not. Do you ever
not
recover?
You do. I mean, a concussion should be an acute problem that resolves in a few weeks if you treat it right. But it can, in some people, cause very long-term issues.
Well, that scene was shocking, but not as shocking as watching you, Chris, being smashed in the head numerous times during a WWE wrestling match. Did that happen every time you climbed into the ring?
Well, the idea, remember, with professional wrestling is it doesn't actually hurt you. It's supposed to look awful, but it's supposed to, you know, we're working
together.
But your
head is bouncing off the ground and people are kicking you in the head.
Well, yes, but they're light kicks.
I decided sometimes that Linda McMahon should be held responsible. I'm sorry.
No, I knew what was happening there. The problem was I didn't realize how much accidents happened because you're moving so fast with such big people that there were a few accidents that really just nearly took my head off and changed my life.
Now, we are becoming more aware of what concussions can do. There was a big article in the Times last year that showed just what happens to the brain, and the film does as well. And today, the Times had an article about how players can wear any kind of helmet they want in the NFL, even helmets that don't protect them against concussions. Are we still not getting it?
Yes, we're still not getting it, and that's exactly why a movie like this with an artist like Steve directing is so important because, you know, the athletes don't know how fragile their brain is. They don't understand the physics. They don't understand that newer helmets are designed much better than older ones, and so they're using the stuff they used in high school.
Now, Steve, I know you're not a doctor, you're a filmmaker, but you probably had to learn a lot about concussions. Can you tell us the medical definition of a concussion?
Oh, my God. I think he should do that.
Well, I was trying to get you in here. Chris is the co-founder and executive director of the Sports Legacy Institute. Is that concussion related?
Right. Sports Legacy Institute's goal is to solve the concussion crisis. You know, and that's through education and research and you know, teaching people that a concussion is an alteration in your brain's functioning brought on by a traumatic brain injury.
So it didn't happen with you because wrestling is fake?
Yes. No, I got him there. I got him in football. I got him in youth soccer. You know, I must have had him all along.
But, you know, one thing I want to say about the concussion, one of the things I learned in making the film is that when we say someone suffers a concussion, it is to some extent just an arbitrary definition of a mild traumatic brain injury, that the person who sustains it notices symptoms, essentially. And one of the things that Chris is exploring, a lot of people are researching, is this whole idea of subconcussive blows, which is where you don't notice anything, you don't see stars, the sky doesn't change color. But the worry and concern is that the accumulation of many subconcussive hits can have the same impact as concussions.
But we all have that experience, don't we? When we bang our heads or, or trip and fall and bang our head on the ground.
You know, I ask this to parents at every one of my educational presentations. How many times have you been hit hard in the last year? And you get about 3% of people will raise their hand. One time they were hit. And I show them the data and I say, well, if your son is playing high school football, they might be hit. There's one kid recorded taking 2,235 blows to the head in one season that exceeded 10 G's of force. So, yes, it happens once, we should be fine. But you do it 1,000 times in a few months, that's where we're realizing there's a problem.
Is concussion, by definition, a traumatic brain injury, a TBI?
Yes.
Now, I understand there are two kinds of TBIs, penetrating and closed.
Right. That's on the severe end when you're talking about penetrating injuries like with shrapnel or something.
But that's a bullet or a shrapnel going into the brain.
Right. Concussion's a closed head injury, and it's the most mild, meaning your brain doesn't actually bleed. You can't see anything on an MRI or a CT scan. So it's essentially been an invisible injury for all of time, and that's why we don't give it the respect it deserves.
But sometimes the brain moves around within the skull. Other times it doesn't. If it moves around, that's more scary.
Well, it moves around every time your head moves. Your brain is actually floating in cerebral spinal fluid, and it's tethered at the bottom by your brain stem. But the problem is if it moves too fast. If it moves too fast because your brain is jello, it twists, it stretches, it just slams against the inside of your skull, and that's when you start having injuries.
Steve, one review described Head Games as a sports horror film. Was that your intention?
Well, I think we certainly wanted to raise awareness and alarm people in a you know, proper way to this. But another intention of the film was to not do something that was hysterical over this issue, and that really tried to separate as best we could what we know and what we don't know, and where we are in this process of really understanding this issue.
Well, we've heard about concussions affecting the brains of hockey players, for example. But in football, almost every team has a star player at some point or another out for a week or two with a concussion, and then they come back. Is it okay for them to come back? You played football on a college level.
Well, there's two problems here. One is that you mentioned you always have a player out or two players out.
Darrell Revis, the star of the Jets, was out last week because of a concussion. The doctors decided to keep him out for a week, but he's coming back this Sunday.
Yeah, the curious thing about concussions is if you actually interview the players, you survey them anonymously, and you take out the word concussion because they don't understand it, and say, how often were you hit in the head and had confusion, dizziness, blurry vision? It's 50% per season. At college, high school, and pro. So we actually only diagnose 1 out of 10. And then the ones we do, yes, you need to rest. And how long you rest depends on who you are and how it happened. Could be a week, but some people might need a month or a year.
Some of them go off the field woozy, but others just seem to be okay.
Yeah, the brain is a very, very powerful instrument. So even though you've injured it, you know, you can imagine evolutionary, you get, you know, hit in the head by a tiger and you got to run away. You know, you can't be unconscious. So that is part of the problem, is the symptoms are so mild relative to pain or blood.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we invite our listeners to join in the conversation. Our number here is 212-433-9692, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org, or also on a Facebook, Twitter. We can be reached so many different ways. My guests are Chris Nowinski, the author of Head Games, Football's Concussion Crisis. He is also one of the featured people in a new film from Steve James called Head Games. And we'll be back right after this with more Please Explain. We're back with Please Explain with Steve James, whose latest film is called Head Games. It opens today at the AMC Empire on 42nd Street. Also available on video on demand.
Yes.
And with him is the man who inspired this film, Chris Nowinski, the author of Head Games, Football's Concussion Crisis, also the co-founder and executive director of the Sports Legacy Institute. And you're also you're consulting with the NFL?
NFL Players Association.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are people listening? Because as I said, today's Times had an article about how players, in some cases, players choose the worst helmet for protecting themselves because they think it's going to look good on TV.
Yeah, it's a slow process. But one of the more interesting things the NFLPA negotiated for with the NFL is reducing practice, because most of the hits to the head come in practice and the concussions. So now NFL teams are only allowed to have full contact practice 14 days during the 18-week season, less than once a week. And yet, you know, youth leagues hit 4 days a week. It's kind of this bizarre world where you're safer in the NFL.
And younger people, of course, are more susceptible to concussions and to having a lasting impact.
Right. The young brain is more susceptible, and especially in terms of diagnosing it, young children do not have the understanding to appreciate, I'm a little dizzy, I'm a little confused, and I'm going to tell my coach when they're 7 years old. And so I especially think hitting them in the head is a scary proposition.
Someone called in to say he used to get a lot of headaches and alleviated them by banging his head against the wall, and he wonders if it comes from playing so much football when he was a kid.
You know, headaches can be brought on by too much brain trauma. So, you know, I know a lot of people that deal with headaches now, including me.
You have it, do you think, because of your football and wrestling careers?
Well, I got a concussion in 2003, and that led to 5 years of near daily headaches. And I got over that, but then I had a rough summer playing basketball, and I got four once a month for 4 months. And so I still get headaches a lot.
And people can get concussions from basketball as well, even though it's supposedly a non-contact sport. But sometimes they get hit in the head. Sometimes they fall to the ground and bang their heads.
Exactly.
But so can people riding bikes.
Right.
And a lot of people I'm seeing riding bikes without helmets.
Yeah, that's dumb.
How protective are the helmets?
Well, helmets do a great job preventing skull fracture, and then they're getting better with concussion. So if you're riding a bike and you go over the handlebars, you're better off not suffering that severe brain injury. And you know, I'm also on the board of the Brain Injury Association of America, so though those really severe ones are scary how much they change your life.
A listener wrote on our show site, the NFL just donated $30 million to researching neurological disorders stemming from head trauma. What are the long-term neurological disorders that could be associated with concussions?
Oh, great question. Well, the one that we're really focused on right now is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, what we used to call punch drunk or dementia pugilistica. We're finding that in the brains of almost all the NFL and college football players we've looked at. The first 18 of 19 NFL players had it. It looks a little bit like Alzheimer's, but it's different, and it's a degenerative process for the rest of your life that will eventually lead to dementia in many cases.
What about something like what we've seen with Muhammad Ali? Is his Parkinson's related to this?
You can't know until he passes away, but there's a lot of people think that his Parkinsonism, the symptoms of Parkinson's, are actually, it's classic punch drunk. It's actually caused by CTE. There's also now research that's been done by Dr. Ann McKee, who works with me at Boston University School of Medicine, connecting ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, to brain trauma, and actually it led to a big, 2 years ago when it first hit, they started to say, well, maybe Lou Gehrig didn't actually die of Lou Gehrig's disease, with the idea being that he didn't have the normal type of ALS because he had so many concussions as a Yankee, and so many and he also played football at Columbia and also high school football, that it may have been that.
Steve, how did you get some of the footage that you had? I mean, that opening scene with the football coach telling his kids to hit Samson, I guess it was the David and Goliath story. That's I wouldn't want anybody to film me saying something like that to little kids.
Well, you know, I think I have to defend that coach in one way, which is that, and he makes note of this in the film, that in the last year or so, he's learned quite a bit more about concussions and become much more aware. But I think that what happens to him and happens to a lot of people, even those who really genuinely care, is you get caught up in the moment of a game and coaching a team, and that team made this miraculous comeback that we trace throughout the film. You know, it's easy to kind of revert back to all of the things that coaches have done for decades about around motivating players to play.
A listener, Corrine from Connecticut, is on the line. Hi.
Hi, how are you? I think I might want to change my question, which is there any hope for the game to change, particularly football, so that there aren't as many concussions as a result of the way it's being played?
Well, I think the answer is yes. We can change it. We're never going to eliminate concussions, and football, the way it's played, will always be dangerous. But if we instituted certain changes, we could actually get to a number like 20% of the hits to the head and 20% of the concussions.
Well, Corrine, Rizzi was going to ask why men kind of ignore this. but that's part of what athletes are all about, aren't they? You break a bone in your foot and you say nothing's wrong.
And girls, too.
Yeah.
It's happening more and more with female athletes.
Yeah. It's the culture of, you know, suck it up and get back in there and dust yourself off and you'll be fine. And it works for most of your body, but we've got to, like, there's one injury we did carve out years ago and said, don't try to tough your way through it, and that was neck injuries. You know, in old days, people used to get up even though their neck hurt because they didn't realize it might cause paralysis. And we had to educate out of that. And we're going to have to do the same thing with concussions. If you imagine children growing up getting annual concussion education from the time they're six, they will get it by the time they're older.
Janet on Long Island left a comment on our show page. She said, my husband suffered a concussion when he was 9 years old. He's now 52 and was recently diagnosed with chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy. Well, that's very
easy
sad.
For you to say.
No, it took me a while. Don't worry.
CTE.
That's a sad story, and it's something we hear too frequently. You know, the average person starts showing CT symptoms in their 40s, and it's just not normal to be in your 50s and strike. You know, the horror of that in a family is bad.
In talking with the NFL, and I'm assuming that if you were working for the NHL, you'd hear the same sort of thing. If you try to take some of the hitting, the more dangerous hitting out, they are concerned that the fans won't appreciate it as much. In fact, isn't that the argument we hear a lot from people in hockey? That if they penalize people for some of the more dangerous hits all the time, that the fans would lose interest?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the concerns that the leagues have. And, you know, if you look at in the blogosphere, a lot of fans say that, too. I think with hockey, the big elephant in the room is fighting. I mean, I think they've made tremendous strides, and we make note of that in the film, in terms of making the game more safe by you know, issuing harsh penalties for improper hits to the head.
They also, at a certain point, made it mandatory to wear a helmet, although it was grandfathered in that the old-timers didn't have to do that.
But then when a fight breaks out, the referees stand along the side and let the combatants go at it while the crowd goes crazy.
And are they likely to result in some kind of concussion?
Well, you know, yes. I mean, a lot of fighters, they're the least likely to tell you they're concussed because that's their job. But what we're finding is we found this in 3 out of 3 brawlers, including the Rangers, Derek Bugard. Derek Bugard died at 28. He already had CTE, mm-hmm. which is incredibly young. And Reggie Fleming and Bob Probert. So you're basically a boxer on skates, and you're in a very, very high-risk category.
Brian from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. Great show. Thanks a lot, guys. I was a player for 12 years. I played college football and a running back, and then went on to coach for over a 25-year period at the college level. I have a concern. Well, the concern is I think it's not the one-offs that we're worried about, but it's the repetitive lower hits, I think, that you guys were talking about. And having played football and coached it, and you guys been involved with football, your head is your best weapon out there, and it's a very, very violent game. And I don't know if we can solve the problem with rules changes and referees and coaching techniques. My feeling is that we need to change equipment, and I think we need to go back to leather helmets or soft helmets again, so the head isn't used as a weapon. And I don't think we had these type of injuries prior to that, to the event, because you wouldn't use your head as a weapon. And I think related to hockey, you know, prior to the institution of the helmet, we did not have, you know, these type of injuries either.
Well, actually, they brought in the helmets because they did have those types of...
Well, they had rare, severe ones, mm-hmm. and that was the issue. We invented... it's a great observation, because we invented the hard-shelled helmet because people were dying of those penetrating skull fractures. And so we said, oh, it's too dangerous to put a helmet on, but suddenly that just opened a door to hitting each other in the head all the time, because suddenly everyone stopped complaining when you hit them in the head, because you didn't feel... There's no pain nerves in your brain. They're only on your scalp.
Now, can helmets be developed that will eliminate some of these problems?
We're always going to do better with helmets, and I always appreciate the investment the companies put in, but the reality is also that you only have an inch or two of space to really diminish that force and slow down your brain from moving. So they're never going to be perfect.
Steve, you profile Cindy Parlow-Cohn in your film. Can you tell us a bit about her story?
Well, yeah. I mean, Cindy's story is amazing, because here's this three-time Olympian, this incredible player who is a midfielder, and as she says in the film, a big part of her game is in the air, heading the ball. And, you know, an incredible player, forced to retire when she was like 26 years old, and because of repeated concussions. And one of the things she talks candidly about is that when she went and told her parents that she was going to quit, her parents discouraged her from it. And this is something that we saw a lot in the film, is the way in which parents wrestle with this question with their kids, because it's not that they don't want what's best for their kids, but their kids are invested in the sport and the parents are invested in the kids performing well.
So heading the ball can lead to a concussion?
Well, it can if you head it wrong, and especially young kids, you catch it at a wrong angle, it can happen. But we're also worried about just the repeated trauma if you don't have symptoms. But some people take 5,000 headers a year. That's just kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. And if you're practicing them.
Exactly. You play in year-round these days.
Wow. We have a lot of calls. Unfortunately, we've pretty much run out of time. But let's talk a bit about the film once again, Head Games. It's opening today at the AMC Empire. That's on 42nd Street. Are the two of you going to be going there and doing a Q&A?
Absolutely.
Yeah, after the 8:05 show, we'll do a Q&A.
And has this film been shown to people in the professional sports?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just opening now, so not nearly enough people have seen it yet. But we have we've shown it to a number of athletes, retired NFL players.
But retired is too late, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we want to get it. I mean, for us, this film really needs to hit the sweet spot of amateur athletes and parents.
Steve James's film Head Games opens today at the AMC Empire on 42nd Street. Thank you so much for being with us. And Chris Nowinski, who wrote Head Games, Football's Concussion Crisis, also now the co-founder and executive director of the Sports Legacy Institute. It's been great having you on today's Please Explain.
Been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Great to be here.